Going to be reading this morning from Mark 7, 31 through 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. There's a story about a student nurse who was assigned to take care of a young man who had a paralyzing disease. He'd lost his ability to speak, although he had perfect understanding. I mean, he was all there, he just couldn't speak. This young student nurse was determined she was going to make his life cheerful. So day in and day out, she talked to him about whatever, the weather, baseball scores, movies, just whatever she could think of. She talked to him constantly, trying to keep him upbeat. Months later, she received a summons to this young man's doctor's office to see what progress her ex-patient had made. His speech therapist explained that she had been invited to hear the first words that her patient had spoken in 3 years, the words that he had asked to be taught first. So as she walked in, she was greeted with a big smile on the young man's face, and he looked at her and said, Please, Miss Freeman, shut up. This young man was having fun, of course. But after all the time, he was real excited to be doing the one thing that he hadn't been able to do before, and that was talk and communicate. Many of us suffer gradual decline in our hearing as we get older, and some tones are clear to the young that they can hear, the higher pitched tones, and that us older folks can't hear. There was a company that actually developed a little product they called the Mosquito. It emits this high-pitched sound that older folks couldn't hear, but younger folks, it just irritated them. And it was sold with the idea that you could put this in a place where the older folks didn't want to be bothered by the younger folks. But the younger folks, they got their payback. Somebody developed a ringtone for cell phones that was high-pitched, so the older folks couldn't hear it, but the young ones could. And they could sit in their classroom and send text messages back and forth, and the teacher wouldn't know because she couldn't hear it. So it always kind of goes both ways. They do claim that hearing loss is on the increase, a 26% increase between the ages of 35 and 60 over the past 15 years. So it's becoming rather widespread, and they kind of blame it on rock and roll and just natural noisy environments that we live in. Helen Keller was asked one time whether she would rather lose her sight or her hearing. And she said that she would rather be able to hear. Loss of hearing is an isolating experience. It cuts us off from others. It puts us at a great disadvantage in any type of relationship. And that was the kind of man that was brought to Jesus for healing. He couldn't hear. It kind of cut him off from society. Where if you're blind, the way Helen Keller was looking at it, you can still hear what's going on around you. You have a sense of what is happening around you, where if you can't hear, you really lose that. One of the saddest instances of a loss of hearing was Beethoven. Being that he was a musician, becoming deaf was a tragedy for him. He wrote one time, How sad it was my lot. I must avoid all things that are dear to me. There was one time when he tried to conduct an orchestra, one of the songs that he had composed, and because he couldn't hear this, even this full orchestra, as loud as they were, he couldn't hear them. They were kind of in one rhythm and he was in another, and it was just a disaster. So he tried to avoid places where he had to admit that he was deaf. And he said that it's a frightful thing to be in the situation he was in. He was so deaf, had grown deaf, that he had the legs removed from his piano so that it was laying flat on the floor so he could lay down and feel the vibrations as he was playing the piano. So loss of hearing is a pretty devastating thing. Jesus knew that. And when their friends brought this young man to Jesus, he had compassion for him. He healed him. But you'll notice that every time Jesus, not every time, but most times Jesus did miracles or healed somebody, he would tell the crowd around him, don't tell anybody. And the more he told them not to tell anybody, the more they did. And the reason he would tell them that is because he didn't want to be known as a miracle worker, as a faith healer. That wasn't his mission here on earth. His mission was to set up the church, to tell people about the kingdom of God. The healing and the miracles he did was out of compassion for those people around him. There are three languages in the United States that are most popular. That's English, of course, Spanish, and the third one is actually sign language. There are quite a few deaf people in the United States, and sign language is actually a very common, very popular language. We have to be compassionate like Jesus was, and that's part of the reason for the sign language, so we can still communicate with those people. Jesus had compassion. He didn't want to be a spectacle. He wanted people to see him for why he was here, not what he could do. But you'll notice too that he took this man aside, away from the crowd, to heal him. Something that our showmanship faith healers today could take a lesson from. It's not about everybody seeing what you can do. It's about compassion, about the power he had to heal. It's about wanting to help others. Mark tells us that he not only told them not to tell others, but wanted them to understand that he was here for another reason. There are three things we can take away from the verses we read this morning: Christ's compassion, Christ's competence or power, and Christ's commission, why he was here. We start with Christ's compassion. He would never turn somebody away. Anyone who had a need, he would not turn them away. And he is still like that today. If you have a need, he's going to be there for you. He has compassion for you. He wants to help you. And he has the ability, the power to do that, whether it's a physical disablement or a mental issue or a spiritual issue, whatever it might be, he does not turn people away. He always wants to be there for us. He is our ultimate friend. He wants to be our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And we need to remember that, that he is there for us. I'm going to tell you a little funny, silly story. It goes along with hearing, not so much Jesus healing. There's a young boy who was on a first date, took his girlfriend home, and he was looking for that first kiss. Y'all remember that first kiss? Well, he was a little nervous, so he kind of leaned up against the house, and he looks at his girlfriend, and he says, "How about a good night kiss?" Horrified, the girl looks at him and says, "Are you crazy? My parents will see." He goes, "Oh, come on, who's going to see us at this time of night?" She says, "No, no, please. Can you imagine what will happen if I get caught?" He goes, oh, come on, there's nobody around. They're all sleeping. She says, too risky. Please, please, I love you so much. No, I love you too, but I just can't. Oh, yes, you can, please. No, I can't. Please. And then all of a sudden the porch light comes on, the door comes open, and there is her sister standing there in her pajamas, kind of all disheveled, like she'd just gotten out of bed. And in a very sleepy voice, she says, Dad says, go ahead and give him a kiss. Or I can do it. Or if necessary, he'll come down and do it himself. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off of the intercom. They were hearing every bit of that. Bless his heart. That story kind of points out that we do have an intercom to God. When we kneel down and pray, we push that intercom button, so to speak. God hears everything. Whether we're praying for ourselves, praying on behalf of someone else, or praying on behalf of the community, perhaps. Whatever we are praying for, we have that open intercom to God. He hears everything we pray. And we need to remember that. Anything you pray for. We also have to understand from this story that Christ has competence. Christ has the power to take care of people that are hurting. He has the power to help them. And it doesn't matter what the issue is, he has the power to help. And I know there are cynical people out there that would say, no, it's just medicine or science or whatever. That's not necessarily the case. Doctors will tell you that people that know they're being prayed for, people that have a good spiritual strength within them, are more apt to heal faster and more completely than someone who doesn't. Doctors know that. Dr. Schweitzer, Albert Schweitzer, once made the comment that each patient carries his own doctor inside of him. They come to us knowing that truth. We are at our best when we give the doctor which resides within each patient a chance to work. And that's what Christ was doing. When he was healing people, he was bringing out that internal doctor, that spiritual doctor within each one of us, that healing power. There's a doctor named Rachel Remen who wrote a book called Kitchen Table Wisdom. She learned through the years that that was particularly true, that how your spiritual being was affects how your health is. In fact, she was one of the earliest doctors to accept the idea of mind-body health. She tells about a man named Max, 63 years old, who was sent to her because he had metastatic colon cancer. All the other doctors had given up on him. There's nothing we can do. It's just a matter of time before you're going to be gone. She told Max that I think we can do something about it. You understand about Max, he was born prematurely. So the first few years of his life, his mom had to spend a lot of time with him, which really upset his dad. To the point where Max overheard his dad tell his mom one day that if that little runt was one of my animals, I'd put him out to starve. Poor Max, that affected him the rest of his life. He had brushes with death, broken bones, accidents, because he would take risks. He didn't feel like he deserved to live because of the statement that his dad had made to his mother. It's amazing sometimes how what we say hurts a lot worse than what we could possibly do to somebody. So she asked Max, she says, okay, what do you think has gotten you through all these little brushes with death and accidents and all those things? Why are you still here? He says, well, it's got to be luck. And she looked at him very skeptically and she said, no, nobody is that lucky? Then, in a choked, barely audible voice, he confessed that he had always wanted to live, but didn't feel deserving. And she looked at him, she says, "Can you say that louder?" He just kind of looked down at the rug in front of him and said, "I sort of feel ashamed. Something inside me wants to live." But he wouldn't look up. She says, "Say it, Max. Say it until it becomes real. Do you think you could look at me and tell me that?" He finally looked up and said, "I want to live." And she says, "I want you to live too." And because she had encouraged him and lifted him up spiritually, he lived another 8 years, where other doctors had just written him off. So there's something to be said for spiritual healing. And that's what Jesus does with us. He brings out that spiritual healing. Dr. Remen knew about this spiritual healing because her grandfather was a rabbi, and he told her about how what is inside you is just as, if not more important, than the science outside you. So we need to remember that. Jesus not only had compassion, but he had the power to bring that healing out from inside of you, from the Spirit. He also had a commission to ministry. And that's why there are so many hospitals around the country, around the world, that have Christian names, have been set up by churches, Christian homes for abandoned children, Christian relief agencies, Christian missions, because Jesus had that commission, that mission to help others, but he also wanted to bring them into his fold, if you will. During the Renaissance period, deaf people were kind of shunned. They weren't even allowed to come to the altar and take communion because they couldn't express their profession of faith. So there was a group of Benedictine monks that thought that was wrong. And in the monastery where these monks were, they all took a vow of silence. They were going to empathize directly with the deaf mutes. But they knew they had to have a way to communicate with one another, and that's where sign language came from. They figured out ways of talking to each other without talking to each other. It got to be a very well-known thing in this monastery. Pretty standard way that they talked to one another. So one of the monks, named Ponce de Leon, wrote a book on how to teach people to talk to one another with your hands. Eventually that book wound up in France, and eventually it wound up in North America. And that's where our sign language today came from several hundred years ago and during the Renaissance. And I'm sure it's been tweaked a little bit on the way up, but we're still basically using the same language that they created because they were compassionate about the deaf mutes. Christ had compassion like that. They were imitations of Christ, which is what we should be. We should be imitations of Christ. We should have compassion. We, through prayer, have power to heal. We've all seen it. People that have been written off and groups of people that pray for them and they live longer than the doctor said, or they heal and they're up and around. We see that all the time. Prayer works. We have compassion for others, and through prayer we have power to heal, just like Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, "You can do what I do." They got a little concerned. The one guy that they couldn't And Jesus says, because you don't have enough faith. It's about faith. And if you, when you kneel down and pray, believing it's already been taken care of, that's what the Bible tells us. Pray as if it has already happened. With that kind of confidence, it will. So we need to be compassionate for others like Christ was compassionate. We need to realize we have the power to heal through prayer. And we need to know that we have this mission to help others. Love one another as I have loved you. That's Jesus' commission to us. So the story is not just about hearing. The story is about Jesus' compassion and power. And we can do the same thing through our compassion and power. Amen.